Welcome, everyone, to the Abundance Formula Podcast. My name is Gina Oldham, practitioner of prosthetics and orthotics, fitness expert, business owner, lifestyle entrepreneur, and four-time national bikini competitor. This podcast was created to empower people to build abundant lives for themselves, lives that are purposeful, fruitful, and send a ripple effect through the world. From short motivational segments to game-changing conversations with highly successful and abundant people, be ready to learn the formula of common actions, thought patterns, and principles that create abundant living. Whether it be your mindset, health, business, or relationships, the Abundance Formula has what you need to uplevel your life to the one you're called to live. So here we go. Welcome back, everyone. And I'm so excited to be back recording a podcast again, because the Abundance Formula event is now complete. It went so amazing. I'm going to do an episode next week, kind of recapping it, some of my favorite takeaways from all the speakers and some of the feedback from the attendees and things like that, and just kind of tell you a little more about the event, some crazy things that happened before the event, and just to give a little recap on it. I got so sick the very next morning. So I'm so grateful that the day of, I felt totally fine, completely great. Very next morning was throwing up all day. Terrible. So, and it took, and it of course went through the whole family, our little girls, my husband, Kellen, everything. So it took us basically the whole next week to even get sort of better, like to get just any energy back. So finally this week is really the first week I actually feel myself again and feel like I have a no brain fog and creativity again. And so I've utilized pre-recorded podcasts already with guests the past couple weeks, instead of doing that Abundance Formula event recap straight away, which is what I had planned to do and wanted to do and have all those great feelings and talk about them, but I was not feeling good the next day. So that'll be next week. But today's episode is with Johanna Hunt. She is an explorer, an adventurer, a dreamer, an entrepreneur living life on her own terms, and she shows others how to do the same. So she's a teacher and trainer for home business owners and entrepreneurs, teaching them how to create success fast online so they can have more time freedom to do the things that they love to do and create more choices in their life. She's always been a big dreamer and lives big, and she inspires and encourages other people to do the same. So she's somebody that, you know, if you want more for your life, she believes you need to go after it. And there's never going to be a perfect timing or a perfect situation. You've just got to seek opportunity and not wait for it. So we talk a lot about that in this episode, especially for mothers or parents in general. If you want to start a business to create more time freedom to be with your family or to support your family more, then, you know, she started her main business when her youngest was just 2 months old. So she talks about that. There's no perfect timing. There never will be. And so we talk all about like how to make it happen anyway. And so there's so many tips and tricks in here, especially for online space. That's her niche, is online space. And so she really helps us so much in this episode with social media, with just the types of business options there are, especially for creating something online, and how many what different income streams look like, and how you might want to stack things so that you get the most benefit. So there's so many tactical tips in here, as well as mindset tips, as well as just life tips. So she's one of those guests that I enjoy, where you kind of get a whole person experience with it. You learn a little bit about everything, whether you're an entrepreneur or not. The life concepts that she talks about in here are so applicable to anybody, and especially mothers. So again, if you're someone listening to this who's not an entrepreneur, don't worry. Like, the concepts of somebody, you know, going for their business is the same thing as you just going for things that light you up. Because especially as a parent, it's easy to just ditch everything else that you loved and did for you before, and it just becomes all about your kids or all about survival. And, you know, and so just because there's things that we talk about in here that are business related, the same concepts will apply to you and just doing something for your own self-care, or doing something that you're passionate about, that lights you up, that you love, that fills your cup. So if we, when we get to the parts that are entrepreneurship based, if you aren't an entrepreneur listening to this, still listen, because the same exact stuff is going to apply to you. Just think of it towards that avenue. But of course, I know so many of you are entrepreneurs, and so this is going to be such a helpful tactical episode for you. So let's dive in. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Abundance Formula Podcast. Today's guest is Johanna Hunt. I'm so excited about her. You guys, everything that she is a pro at is completely in the wheelhouse of the things you guys want to know, want to get better at, specifically for if you want to build a business or if you've been thinking about it or you're just wanting to find more alignment. She's got all the things. So I can't wait for everyone to get to know you better. So go ahead. Thank you so much for being here and tell everybody about who you are, your backstory. I know it's really amazing, and just kind of fill everybody in on you.
Yeah, amazing. Well, thank you first for having me on. I love what your podcast is all about. And even for myself, like, I didn't start out in the entrepreneurial world in a place of huge abundance or like huge vision. For me, it was more, I didn't want to go back to work. I had a 2-month-old baby. Things weren't working for me anymore, the things that had worked for me before. And so I knew I needed to create something different. But I started a business really from a place of scarcity. It was like, okay, we need money. We're in debt. How can I make this work so that I can be home as a mother and contribute financially to our family? And so I think a lot of people will start their businesses from that place. And particularly right now, that's a lot of the energy that's going on, right? Like, things are happening in the world and we are reactive human beings. And so we tend to start things from a different place. And then as we take that journey, things start to unfold. And we start to learn and discover a little bit more about who we are and what our passions are and what our purpose is. And it's just this beautiful unfolding if we allow it. So my background is in events, event marketing, event branding. And I got started because I was one of those people who didn't know what she wanted to be when she grew up. I just knew I wanted to be happy. That was something that I didn't feel I was, and I wanted freedom, which was also something I didn't feel I had. And so I didn't take the traditional path. I left, I did 1 year of college. I left, I went off and I traveled. And in that process, I met people, I listened to stories, and I became inspired into my life. And that's how I came across event marketing, just by doing volunteer work. And I remember always thinking, you hear, you know, if you do something you love, you'll never work a day of your life. And so I did that path. I took that path for about 15 years, and I worked in big sporting events up in Whistler, and I worked with the Vancouver Olympics in 2010. And I kind of reached the pinnacle of my sort of my what I thought of at the time as success, right? Mm-hmm. Like, externally, but inside I was still unfulfilled. And so I was still working in that event world when I had my daughter, and I tell my girls all the time, they are my angels. They saved me from the path that I was on, because I was forced to start to do something different. I had a bigger why to make that transition, which can be hard to do when you commit so much of your life to one path. You've invested in school, you've invested in your career, your skill set. And so I started to think about what can I do, and I started to read books, and I learned about residual income, passive income, and the difference between being a business owner, an investor, and being self-employed. And I realized I was self-employed. I was still trading time for money. I was not going to have the freedom I wanted through the kind of business that I was working at, and it would require, you know, sacrifices I didn't want to make anymore, with nights and weekends away and long hours and somebody else being in control of my schedule. And so reading books about that 4-hour work week, reading the cash flow quadrant and learning more and educating myself about money and business, I started to choose a different path. And that looked different at the time. It was direct sales for me, very traditional MLM, network marketing, something I could do from home. But it didn't feel in alignment for me. It was almost there. Like, it had the elements. It had some of the components for me of that freedom piece, the financial freedom, not having a glass ceiling, making my own hours. But it was still very confined. And so I wanted to build in the online space. I wanted to be location independent. I wanted to not be on anybody else's schedule. I wanted freedom, ultimate freedom. I didn't want to be a laptop CEO either. I didn't want to take my laptop to the beach. I wanted to leave my laptop at home and go to the beach with my kids and be in the water playing with them, like real freedom. And so through that path, I made a lot of transitions. I kept seeking, which led me to affiliate marketing, led me to digital marketing, led me back into social retail, and then eventually just kind of building out this brand that had multiple income streams, a multifaceted business that aligned with my lifestyle, but it also aligned with what my audience was looking for. And that's how I came into teaching a lot of stuff about energetic alignment, personal branding, building a multifaceted business, and then teaching the skill set too of how do you set that up? What does that look like?
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I love that. And I love hearing that all along the way you kept making progressive moves was from seeking to learn. You know, it wasn't like, well, I don't know how to do this, so, oh, well, you know, it was like, okay, well, I'll go learn. You know, I think so many people, once you're out of school, especially if that's the path you've kind of gone, you're used to it for that many years, you kind of forget, like, you can also learn things outside of school. You know, like, you can also teach yourself. You can, you know, and I'd honestly say probably most kids when I was younger, by the time the kids, say, got to high school that were homeschooled all the way to high school, were the smartest kids too. It's like, it kind of was this thing that homeschool kids were always so smart. And I was like, dang, you know, and so it still goes back to that concept. Like, you can really teach yourself so much and you don't have to feel powerless in that. Okay, now I'm branching out from the unfamiliar. Just start seeking knowledge, getting books, or now there's even podcasts to, you know, things to ways to learn. That's even free avenues to find what you need and to figure out what you're interested in, what you're not. I love that you didn't give up. If you still like each new path, maybe it wasn't quite it just yet, but you found new clues to the next part of the journey. So that's really cool. For moms specifically, because I think a lot of moms or parents in general, it could be the dad too, but like run into that kind of mental breakthrough where they're like, okay, once they've had their kid, maybe even they thought they liked how their life was before, and maybe they did, but now we've entered, say, this new phase, and like, wow, I don't want to have to leave my kid, or I want to have this more freedom, or I want to change, you know, it to be a little different than what maybe I always thought. So for moms or parents, whoever, when they get to that point, now you've got babies though, so it's kind of like, well, this is, seems like the worst time to start on this new endeavor and to try to make all this extra time for learning, etc. How can they, and how did you do that to create the space for all this learning and all this stuff? Because I think that's a big number one excuse for moms is don't have time, too exhausted, all that stuff. So how did you make that work to start building this new business in this very busy, tiring time?
Yeah. Well, I love that question. And I talk about this quite a bit. I've talked about this on my podcast as well. It's a matter of exchanging things. Somebody once said to me, you can have everything you want, you just can't always have it at the same time. And so for me, you know, I looked at what am I currently doing in my life? Where do I have pockets of time? And what can I give up in the short term in order to invest this time into the long term? And I don't like to see it as sacrifice, I see it as investment, right? And we actually have more time. Like, we always find time and money for the things that we value, the things that we feel are important, right? And so, you know, you can, it's all about perspective. You can see pursuing your purpose and your passion as a selfish endeavor, or you can see it as creating a beautiful life for your children and what you're showing them in that process, because they emulate everything that we see. My daughters are 10 and 8 right now, but I've been building a business since my youngest was 2 months old. And she was not a great napper. I did not have family around. My ex-husband was working 6 days a week in the city. We lived in the suburbs, an hour away. You know, and I was trying to be the mom who was doing all the things, like, you know, eating super healthy, making all the homemade food, going to all the kids' things, doing the play dates. And you have to get to a point where, one, you just go, okay, I can't do it all. What's the most important? I can't do it all perfectly. And it's not about perfection, it's about progress. And where can I fit this in? Can I get up a little bit earlier in the morning? Can I stay up a little bit later? Can I just take one step forward? Could I be 1% better today than I was yesterday? And so sometimes we think it's like leaps and bounds. And if we can't make those leaps and bounds, then what's the point? But it's those compound effects, those compound habits that we start to create, right? And just moving in that direction And I involved my kids in the process. I mean, they were quite young at the time, so I couldn't really involve them then. But as they got older, they actually needed me more. And I thought they would need me most when they were a baby. And the needs change, right?
Yeah.
So now my daughters are coming into sort of these preteens. They need a lot of me emotionally. And, but they've watched me build this business. They've learned discipline in the process of seeing me do that. They've watched me create boundaries around my work life and my personal life. They see me going for goals. And so even when they were really little, they were toddlers. We were traveling around France. Actually, we were traveling all around Europe for 3 months. And I had to work on that trip. I had to at least do a video a week and, you know, tap in and tune into a few things. And so I would involve them. And I said, okay, mom's going for a bonus. This is huge. This is what this means for us as a family. And if I make this bonus, you get a bonus too. And so they got to go to the toy store the next day with an unlimited budget and purchase whatever they wanted in the toy store if they took time and just played with themselves and with each other. And so they've developed this discipline too of entertaining themselves because of seeing me doing what I'm doing at that time, right? So it has this beautiful ripple effect. And so you just look at trade-offs. What can I trade off right now? What can I do to move the needle forward today? You know, and just get really diligent about having some sort of routine and practice. And if it doesn't work out that day, just flow with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. That's all really good suggestions. And I liked even just the mindset shift of, like you said, not letting go or sacrificing of something, but investing in different areas, you know what I mean? So I think that's really a good perspective shift. And so for a lot of people that are listening, if they're in this place now where they're like, okay, I do think I want something different. Maybe they already have a side hustle or they don't yet, but they're thinking about it. So they're somewhere in that area of the journey. You've already done all this, a lot of this research and this stuff. And so a lot of people that are listening to this podcast are interested in the online ability and the freedom aspects of that kind of framework. Mm-hmm. So you talked about the different income streams earlier. So what, and I know in your writings before that I've seen, you've talked about 5 different income streams that can build online money. Talk about that for people and give maybe some people a kickstart as to where they might even want to go and what's maybe really smart to do business-wise.
Absolutely. I think we don't realize the power of our natural gifts and abilities, right? Because we've been often taught generationally that there's certain ways you make money and good money. And those are in the traditional senses, right? They're not so much in like your personal gifts. And so now we're in this place with technology where you can create from, you can monetize your own assets. Right? Like if you think about Airbnb, you think about Uber, those are monetizing your own assets. You buy a car and now you can make money off of driving that car for other people. You have a home, so now you can rent out your Airbnb. And so it's the same thing with your own talents, right? Do you have a skill set in some area where you can teach somebody that skill set? Because we think people already know all the things that we know, and most people don't. And so one of the ways to monetize is just taking a skill set and turning it around and teaching it. That's one of the simplest ways to get started. For me, I went more of a safe route. I wanted low risk. I didn't want to be seen. I wanted to be behind a product. I wasn't ready to create something myself, and I didn't feel like I had a lot to offer in that space, and I needed mentorship and I needed guidance to move in a new direction. So I got started in network marketing, social retail. Network marketing is quite different. It's more traditional. It's not really built for the online space, even though a lot of people move into that space. But having, you know, something like network marketing, affiliate marketing, those are two things where you can get started with low risk, low investment. And you have the mentorship, you have the leadership teaching you exactly what to do step by step to start building your personal brand and to promote a product and get a kickback from that. And a lot of companies are moving in that direction. Even huge companies that used to have marketing budgets for advertising are starting to realize that actually social influence has a much bigger impact. It's like word of mouth on steroids, right? Mm-hmm. Social impact has a way bigger influence than advertising does anymore. And so there's more companies moving into that space. There's leggings, there's skincare, there's nutrition, there's travel. And we're starting to see more people adopt this model, which is not surprising, right? It's a brilliant model. But you have to know what to look for. I do have a lot of videos on that on my YouTube, because it's really important to be in alignment with a few different aspects: the company, the products themselves, the way they make money, the way they teach you how to make money. And then courses and coaching are really popular as well. They do take a lot more effort in when you're creating your own product. You have to do a lot more testing, right? And it takes a little bit more time to start making that income. It's a more of a long-term investment, but that's something you can move into as well. And you can actually do all of these things together. I think the best way to build a business really is to find like three different types of offers that all align for your audience, that serve them in a similar way, and then combine those things together. And a lot of people will be interested in all three of those offers. And some people might only be interested in one or two or the other, but having different levels of entry to work with you is a really great way you can diversify. And you see lots of, this isn't something that's unfamiliar to us, right? If you follow somebody like Brendon Burchard, he started with a book and then coaching courses and then a high performance supplement. But everything that he does is in alignment with high performance. That's his brand. And the way to think about it is, I think in traditional business, we kind of think, okay, there's one way to do things. There's one skill set. I'm going to go all in on this one concept, this one business, or, you know, this one job that I do. And think of your online business kind of as a store. You walk into a store and it doesn't just have one product. It has, you know, if you're walking into a health food store, you're going to get a lot of different products, but they all have to do with your health. And so you don't have to put yourself into a position where you only get to offer one thing. You get to play with it and explore the ideas. But that being said, you know what? Starting with one thing, if you're just getting started, don't overwhelm yourself. Start mm-hmm. with one thing. Start with something that really aligns with you, that maybe is low risk depending on where you're at, and then start to expand from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love all those tips. For online businesses, and especially with social media, because I think online business, if you're really going to progress and quickly, pairing that with your social media, that's kind of your storefront besides your website. That's a great storefront. That's your own free advertising, you know, ability avenue. What's maybe some of the, either the biggest, maybe two things, what's some of the biggest roadblocks people run into when they now, they've got, say, their website, but now they're looking at social media and they're like, you know, I don't even know what to do. Who is my brand anyways? What do I want my brand to look like online? So concepts around that. And then two, what's kind of some of the biggest mistakes people make in that area as well?
You know, I want to rewind just one second mm-hmm. and I will answer that. When you're deciding on your offer, there's different types of income, right? There's linear income, which is service-based, trading time for money. And then there's residual income, so repeat income, consumable products, things that you can make, you can do the work once and you can get paid for it over and over again. And then there's passive, which is where you put something out there and you make a sale on it and you don't have to be there to facilitate the sale. So like a course or an ebook or something like that, which doesn't always mean repeat income, right? If you can find something that's actually passive and residual, so you can make the money passively without being there to facilitate the sale, but you can make it on repeat, then you're like in an ideal mm-hmm. place.
Yeah.
So as far as social media goes, I think probably one of the biggest, there's two things that I see happen. One is people think they have to be at a certain level or that they have to be a certain type of person in order to be successful with social media. And so they put out a persona and they tend to, you know, only show up when they're winning mm-hmm. or when they have good things to talk about, or that's all they post about. And they will often share their wins and feel like that's the only time that they have value to offer. What they don't realize is that their social media has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do about the audience and who they serve. So if they can get really clear on who they're serving and the kind of value that they want to bring to that person, and they can shift their language around to this is how I help you with this problem, and this is how to overcome it, people then feel validated, they feel seen, they feel heard, they feel connected, like they feel your brand. And so if you can get yourself out of the way, that's one of the best things you can do in positioning yourself and standing out. And the other thing is that there's a concept of like, I need to be everywhere. So being everything to everybody and being everywhere. And I recommend right now, if you're getting started, I would choose one platform or type of content where you're doing long form content and one platform for short form content. So, you know, focus on Instagram if that's your thing, or Facebook or TikTok as short form. Especially, you know, reels are really popular right now. Doesn't mean that reels are going to be the thing that helps you make it. You can build a really successful business on social media without reels, but some sort of short form content where you can connect with your audience and then send them over to a long form platform where, like YouTube or podcasting, where they can dive a little bit deeper with you. And then from that platform, give them an option to dive even deeper, right? Come into your offers, come into your email list, get on a call with you. And what that does is that just deepens the relationship and it deepens the trust that they have with your brand when you start to show up and really be valuable in the marketplace, because you're just, you're not going to build a business off of selfies and pictures of your family and pictures of your food, like, you know, like, or reels, funny voiceovers. It's just not going to cut it anymore in the world that we're living in. People are craving real conversation, real connection. And so if you can stand out in that way, and content is all about creating conversation. Conversation creates conversion.
That's awesome. Yeah, I remember seeing something in your Facebook group where you said something like, yeah, content equals attention, but then maybe it was conversation equals wins or conversion or something like that, which is a really great thought concept for people to think about, like, just posting the pictures, whatever, like, are you looking for the attention of it? Or are you really looking to build relationships, which is what will create sales? So if people need to even think of it as simple as possible, if you're using social media to try to do something for your online business, don't be worried about all the likes. Don't be worried about all that surface stuff. It's all about, there's actually people on the other end of that. And if they're going to buy something from you, especially if they don't know you at all right now, they've got to get to know you. So how can you get to know them? So I think that's really great advice for that.
It's really interesting, because I used to think before I knew what I knew and really started to see this, really started to build a lucrative business and a leveraged business, but also like an aligned business, right? And kind of get a grasp on what was working for me. Before that, I used to think, you know, I would see big influencers on Instagram with tons of followers or YouTubers, and I had no idea that a lot of these big influencers, they're not creating any influence at all. A lot of them aren't even making any money off of their channels. And so I actually know a lot of people with 2,000-3,000 followers on Instagram who have 6- and 7-figure businesses, who have smaller audiences, but they really bring that value and that connection and build that community. To me, that's far more valuable.
Yeah, that's so key. And then I know you've got a challenge going on right now, which is great, because since we're in the online thing, we're talking about social media. Actually, before I ask this question, or you may answer it in this, but when people pick a platform, is there a place you kind of go to stay up to date on changes? Like, so say social media specifically, you know, they'll change an algorithm, or, you know, you have to kind of stay up to date on the knowledge in that platform to keep up with, you know, what's working on that particular thing. Do you have certain resources you go to, or just Google? I don't know, like, just for people who, again, they're like, they're knowledgeless on this, like, where do I go to try to get good at my one thing I choose?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm lucky because I have a mentor who sorts all that stuff out for me within my social retail business. That's his wheelhouse. Cool. So I kind of just tap into our trainings, but I do tend to share a lot of that stuff in my own trainings as things are starting to shift. You can find social media experts on Instagram who are going to share that information. They'll share updates on reels and things like that. And there's a couple Facebook groups as well. You know, so if you're in the podcasting world, jump into some podcasting groups. If you're in blogging, jump into blogs. And people are more than willing to help one another you know, if you jump in and you ask a question, or there's, you know, a lot of leaders that are in there sharing that information. I'm sure there's probably other places you can go, but I like to go places where I can have conversations with people, rather than going to like a random forum or Forbes Entrepreneur or something like that. Because you're having conversations with real people who are like in it doing the work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. So the 5-day challenge that you have coming up is to help people boost their online businesses. So I know you've got, there's 5 days. So tell us a little bit about each of those 5 days and kind of what's in them, and maybe a little teaser of what people could expect help on, or some little nugget maybe from each possible day.
Yeah, absolutely. So right now I love doing challenges. I've done a few different ones around attraction marketing and for prospecting. But this one's a little bit different because I've taught for a decade. I've taught skill set and mindset to my teams in network marketing, to my students inside of my courses. And I could never quite figure out how is it that I can give the same information to people who have the same interests and they have all the access to the tools? And why are some people able to, you know, create really great results with it and other people aren't? It's the same information. It's a blueprint. And it never really comes down to them not having enough time to invest. It really comes down to what's going on within themselves. And I discovered this through my own blocks and, you know, getting to certain levels and then self-sabotaging, getting to certain levels and then feeling really stuck or maybe backsliding, never really being able to break through that. And what I realized was it had a lot to do with my own inner world and keeping my vibration at a higher frequency on a more regular basis. Had to do more with what I was doing in my personal life. And so, you know, we've been through this huge hustle culture where it's like, read the books, take the courses, learn the skills, and then you'll be successful. And that's just not the way it works. If you're sacrificing your health, your family, your fun time, the things that feed your soul, the things that feed your body well, the things that nourish your body, the things that nourish your mind. If one of those aspects is missing, you're going to be blocked. And so in this 5 days, in the first day, we take assessment on where you're currently at in your frequency and what are some of the things that might be contributing to lower or higher frequency and the energy that you have. And, you know, the interesting thing is, a lot of entrepreneurs, business owners, just people in general, they're like, I want more energy because when I have more energy, I'm going to do the things I need to do. Mm-hmm. We are made of energy and we create our own energy, right? We feed that. And so what we feed our mind then is what happens to our body is a byproduct of that. How we feed our soul affects our bodies. It's all intertwined. So day one, we take an assessment. Day two, we focus on mind. Day three, we focus on body. Day four, on soul. And then day five, we talk about really, now that we've cleared that, now that we know our energetic hygiene practices, how to balance out the masculine and feminine energies within us, the creative with the actual doing part, and then really bringing those manifestations in and grounding them. Through these practices and hopefully teaching people how to create habits that we just weren't taught in school or business school or anywhere else. And in doing that, we shift everything that we're attracting to us. And suddenly you can start to attract with more ease, right? Like the right people start to flow into your life, the right opportunities, the conversations, you just start to feel really connected. That's how I want people to feel. That's the missing link I feel for a lot of business owners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's especially when you were talking about when people have like these glass ceilings for themselves. What's maybe some tactics you've had to do for yourself, especially say for like financial, because I think financial glass ceilings are huge for people. Especially if you have a business, you know, you'll get so far and then like you just don't know how to break through to that next level. How did you maybe do that for yourself, especially, you know, around sales or, you know, especially people that are starting out? I think a lot of people are afraid of or have the limiting belief of like, it's hard to make sales or it's hard to make money or, you know, especially when you're switching to something too that maybe takes less time to possibly make that money, or that's the kind of shift you're trying to make is how can I make more of this residual income or this passive? It's a whole different framework than people are used to. So they kind of waste a lot of time and don't make as much money, but they know they need to get there and it's this back and forth. What tips do you have for breaking specifically a financial ceiling or that thought of sales and it's hard to make money and that kind of stuff?
I love that question because I had to work through a lot of these hurdles myself. And I would see people come into my company and I was quite successful out the gates. And I've always had a very steady, solid income. But I was like, how come I'm not growing? And I'm seeing these other people coming in and they're just crushing it. And where are my blocks? And that's where I had start to really dive into my own sort of shadows and figure out like why there were parts of me that I was dimming down, right? And so some of this comes from practices, with getting your energy into place. And so, I was meditating and I tried the 5 a.m. club. I was doing affirmations and no matter what, I just couldn't seem to move past it. And it actually took some shakeups in my life to really allow myself to go deep. And I started doing some shadow work and learning about my attachment styles and learning about my childhood wounding. And it's interesting because sometimes we may not think that there are any, everything was fine, but there's always some sort of attachment. And when we dive into those deeper parts of us, it was interesting to me what even came up. I had no idea what I was holding on to. I thought it had to do with love and relationships and betrayals. But it actually was an experience that I had when I was a young kid and I lost, my mom had a stillbirth. And I didn't remember that experience, but it was trauma that had been stored. And there were a lot of different events that happened through that where I lost my connection to belief, not just in myself, but in the divine and that good things happen to me and that I'm worthy of those good things happening to me. And so in doing that work and allowing it all to come up and revisiting myself at that stage of my life, I was able to heal my attachments to unworthiness and being deserving of having more. And, that's hard work to do. And not a lot of people have the ability to do that, but there's free exercises even online for that. That's not my wheelhouse. But if you search for mirror work or shadow work, and I even have a few people I'm connected with who do that kind of stuff and hold that space and facilitate it. When you uncover that unworthiness wound, suddenly everything, it frees this up, right? And one of the things that is actually really, really helpful, and I actually go through this in the energetic alignment, the 5-day course, is subliminal frequencies. And so even though affirmations didn't work well for me, because there was this rebellious part of my brain that was like, no, that's not true. I'm not a millionaire. No, that's not true. Love doesn't work out for me. And so listening to subliminals with affirmations allowed those messages to bypass my conscious mind into my subconscious. 95% of the world that we create comes from our subconscious mind. Everything that we're picking up around us. And so really learning to create boundaries around what you listen to, what you allow into your space, how you allow yourself to talk to yourself and think about things, and practicing that is how you overcome those blocks. And you have to do the deep work if those blocks are there. There's no book on how to, there's no course you can take that's going to help you propel forward past that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. Thanks for, sharing that, like an example. So I was going to ask, can you give someone an example just so they can think about, because it might trigger them to think, oh, wow, yeah, it's amazing what our brains like hide when it was really traumatizing. And it takes, a lot of time, like you said, a facilitator, somebody outside of you to help ask the right questions for all of a sudden to uncover some of those things. So it's really interesting. I know I've experienced that myself and for other people that have, been to psychiatrist or therapy that has, gotten them into a place where they felt safe enough to start exploring things that they had subdued. And it's really huge how all of a sudden, you realize what temperature gauge you've reset yourself back to in whatever area of life it is, whether it's love and relationships or it's, financial and money relationship, all that kind of stuff. So that's really huge.
I love that there's a saying, the universe responds to how you're feeling. So And it can be the same, whatever your belief is, right? Like, I like to pray, but I also like to meditate, because I feel like when I pray, I'm talking to God. And when I'm meditating, it's my time to listen. But it's our responsibility to take forward movement on the things he gives us, the opportunities, right? And not close ourselves off from them. And so there's the being, and then there's the actual doing the work, right?
Right. Right. And I think a lot of people that, I don't know, I'm not sure what the percentage of distribution would be, but I think a lot of people are okay and happy to be in the thought process place. But then when they got to start putting it out there, you know, is where they kind of now all of a sudden it like you said, some people take the blueprint and go succeed. And then some people have the blueprint, but don't go do with it what they really could.
It takes just as much energy to feed faith as it does to feed doubt.
Uh-huh. That's good. Yeah. Yeah. Doubt is so huge. And I know we both talked about it when I was on your podcast, especially like that kind of doubt gets planted in your mind back in your childhood. Maybe how did you go through some of those past, like rewiring your brain from the doubt that had been put into you from your childhood, or the lack of support? I think so many people kind of justify where they aren't because of what they didn't have in the past. And there's definitely this breaking point of like, okay, well, ultimately, that's an excuse you're making for yourself. Even if you did really have a bad past or upbringing or whatever, at this point now, it is in your hands what you go do with the rest of what you have. So maybe give people an insight to your childhood and how you made the change to do what your environment didn't support.
You know, it's interesting because it's easy to go into victimhood. It's easy to blame the failure of our marriages or relationships on our childhood, or our inability to be in relationship, or inability to make money or do something bigger. And it's interesting to me, like, I didn't grow up in a world where abundance was like prevalent. I grew up in a town where there was a lot of drug abuse, low income housing. I lived in a trailer, a 2-bedroom trailer with my family. I was the oldest of three. So my mom had kids when I was 9 and 11, and then there was 5 of us. And like, I went to bed praying that that place would burn down so we would have to move. I was not happy with where I was at, right? And not that my childhood was all terrible. My parents were very loving people, and you know, they are very they've loved me unconditionally and always fed me, like, you know, like my mom always encouraged me that I could do and be whatever I wanted to be. But there was no signs, there was no sort of support or guidance on how to do that. And so it's interesting, like, I think part of what allowed me to see that there was abundance outside of that world was that my mom's from Austria. And so we would travel back to Austria where she lived. And so I was able to see a contrast in the world I was growing up in and then the world that existed around me. And so then through traveling, seeing different worlds through different work opportunities, working on yachts, seeing that there is money in the world, and just getting myself around people who I could mirror and emulate. And even within network marketing, I chose to work with somebody who was much further ahead than me, because his mindset was the place where I wanted my mindset to be. He had the kind of marriage that I and family life that I wanted to have. He had the tools and the skill sets for the kind of life and business I wanted to build. And so, you know, get yourself around people. And when I started doing the work on my own, I mean, that can get you to a certain point, right? But then you have to do your own work. And I kind of looked like a crazy person. Like, I had sticky notes all over my office, my kitchen, my bathroom. I still do. They change all the time. But I leave myself notes. And I have a picture in my office of me as a little girl. And whenever I feel resistance to, you know, the lack or the doubt or the negative talk wants to come into my head and tell me the self-saboteur, the imposter syndrome, which we always get, right? New levels, new devils. I look at that picture and I'm like, well, tell her that she's not worth this. Tell her that she can't do this. Or I look at my daughters and I'm like, tell them that they're not worth this life that I'm creating. I'd rather allow fear to hold me back than create the kind of life that they deserve to have. And that snaps me right out of it. And sometimes it's as simple as like, okay, well, what's the alternative? Going and getting a job and having somebody tell me what to do? No, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Right? Like, it can be as simple as that. Like, you might be afraid to do something, but what are you more afraid of?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great idea. It's just you know it's going to happen. Again, no matter how successful, whatever, there's always going to be those thoughts that want to creep in. And so knowing that's going to happen and pre-planning, like you said, things that can snap you out of it. So whether it's, yeah, pictures of your kids or pictures of yourself, I love that, of the younger version of you, the kid version that, yeah, it's like they're still in there. It's still you, you know? And so, but for some reason, when we look at a kid, we're like, oh, we would never do that and not be supportive. But then if it's an adult, we just say whatever, you know? So it's like such a great perspective to remember for ourselves, and not only how we talk to ourselves, how we talk to other adults that maybe we see differently, you know, on opinions or whatever, to think of their childhood version, be like, oh, I would never say that to them if they were a child, you know. So that's a really great perspective shift for all kinds of things in life.
We're so conditioned, and I see it even with, you know, my kids going to school. That's like the one part where I play by society's rules as I send my kids to school every day. And they're starting to kind of challenge me on it with the freedom that I've created. And, you know, they know I teach freedom and mindset and all this stuff. And they're like, yeah, but you're sending us to school. And we have very open conversations about the things that they're learning in school and taking everything with a grain of salt and really encouraging them to still hold their boundaries and their values and their belief systems, regardless of what they're taught, because society wants us to be one way. And that is the best way. And we collect this over time. And a lot of that, in that, there is a lot of doubt that is planted. And there's a lot of stories about failure, right? Like, oh, you're not good at math. You got an F. Everything's graded based on this scale of like what's best for the herd to make this world go round. And I love that that's starting to fall away, because everything's the opposite. Everything's actually the opposite of everything we've been told. Failure is the way to success. Fail forward, fail as much as possible. And my children, since they started going to school, this fear has come up of not being good enough for failure. And I'm like, that's great. Like, you're not good at math. What is that telling you? What is that telling you about yourself? What are you learning through that experience? And so we kind of have to step away from all of that. And if we are trying to start a business, I mean, I've worked with women who they don't have supportive environments. Their friends aren't supportive of them starting a business. Their spouses aren't. And you have to really understand that people's other opinions of what you're doing comes from their own projections, their own perspectives, and often a sense of lack within themselves, right? Like, they can only see based on their own experiences. And so, you know, you just find other people. There's enough people now that you can get around inside of Facebook groups, podcasts, that will, you know, there's more strangers that will support you on your entrepreneurial journey than there are friends and family.
Right, yeah.
You have to create a boundary around that. And even when I was starting my business, my ex-husband, he wasn't into the whole network marketing concept. And I was like, well, you don't have to support me, but this is my choice. And I do expect you to respect it. And, you know, and it created a lot of conflict for us. And I had, you know, not for my personal family, but for my in-laws at the time, who were very traditional doctors and lawyers and nurses, you know, they had their own opinions about my choices. And I was like, well, you don't have to like it, or even support it. I do not expect support from anybody. If I'm building this, I'm building this with or without you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's a good thing for people to also think about, like, knowing, you know, other people, or especially like family or people you wish would support, you know, may not. And if they don't, if we can try not to take that personally, because like you said, like, the people can only function from our own perspectives and life experiences and the fears that created or the confidence that created or whatever. So if someone's just not meant to be like on that path with you, that's okay. So you just now need to take note. Okay, and you can get that feeling. You don't have to keep, you know, bringing it back up. You can get the feeling, okay, so this person's going to be on my team with this, or they're just going to have to watch, you know, and that's okay. So let them be there and go find the other the other people, and they'll be a support for something different, right? They can have a different role, you know, even for marriages, our spouse isn't supposed to be all the things for us. You know, they can't be all the things. So like, don't expect them to be all the things. So you kind of have to do that in all the relationships in your life, but have the attention to, or be paying attention to note that, so that you're not also trying to continue in this path with somebody that they're not going to. And then that whole, that does affect your confidence or your belief that you were supposed to go down this path instead of finding the support and reinforcing it. Don't hang out in places that you know is just not meant for your path. So I think that's a good thing for people.
I mean, you know, sometimes I have had relationships fall away because not necessarily in a negative sense, but you know, having a business is a growth process and it's an evolution of everything, right? Like everything in you changes if you're really committed to that growth. And it's okay to allow people to kind of vibrate in and out of your life on that way. And I think a lot of people, for me, I think my friends who aren't in that world really, well, that's not, I think everybody in my world's an entrepreneur now, but at the time, I think that a lot of my friendships, they valued that I didn't have an expectation of them to support me and that I wasn't always talking about my business with them, and I could create separation there and respect that that wasn't their wheelhouse or their world. And then actually a lot of them, because I didn't take that approach of expectation of support or, you know, buying something for me or anything like that, I had that attitude of like, I know I need people, but I don't need everybody, and I'm doing this with or without you. They were actually more interested in what I was doing and more interested in supporting because of that detachment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Well, so tell everybody not only where they can find you and follow you, but also the products that you do have. I know you've got tons of free stuff. You've got stuff that's paid stuff. You've got future things coming. So give everybody the heads up on what you have available.
Yeah, well, if you head over to johannahunt.ca, you'll see most of the stuff listed there. I've got some free guides for building a business on social media, what you need for marketing your business. I've actually got something to keep an eye out for on there is my new business blueprint for online entrepreneurs. So that's kind of exactly a guide for what you need to build a multifaceted online business, the tools, the resources, and how to build that out. I've got a couple of coaching courses that are coming up to stay tuned for. So if you are on my list with any of those things, you'll know what's coming. That's kind of a surprise still. So
yeah. So they can get one of your free things and they'll be in your email list. That's what you're saying. Yeah. And then they can be in the know. Perfect.
And I've got a few mini courses as well. So, you know, if you're looking to build through attraction marketing, or you have a network marketing business, affiliate marketing business, or that's something that you're interested in, I have courses in that. I'm big on leverage and systems. So, you know, everything that I do, I look at like, how can I do something once and create an income from it over and over and over again? Really work smarter, not harder. And if you're like, I don't know, I'm not sure what I'm doing, or I'm looking for certain types of resources, you can jump into the Facebook group, Work Smart, Play Hard. And that's where I share and keep people up to date on everything that's going on. And you can kind of poke around and get a feel for it and see if there's something that resonates for you.
Mm-hmm. And I know in that group, you also post like your YouTube videos. So then that would, if you like a certain video, it'll take you to your YouTube channel and they can keep exploring from there. And then tell everybody, go ahead.
I do a new video every Monday. I do a training on YouTube. That's become quite popular. And then I've got my Unfiltered Life podcast. And there I talk a little bit more about just life and business. Mm-hmm. I've got some great interviews on there. Gina's been on the Unfiltered Life, so you should go check it out and see our interview on there. I've got a lot of great speakers that those release every Wednesday. So there's lots of different types of content because growth is not linear. Mm-hmm. There's so many aspects in business and personal life. There is no such thing as keeping them separate. When you have a business, it is part of your life. It's part of who you are.
Mm-hmm. Love that. And then to follow you, where's the best place for them to follow you as far as social media goes?
I'd say Instagram. That's my favorite platform. I am on Facebook as well. I'm consistent on both, and you get little nuggets from me. But Instagram's where most of my stories go up and my daily posts and inspiration. And, you know, if you're needing that support, skill set, mindset, spiritual growth, soul growth, I'm on there every day, very consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's at johannahunt.ca. Everything's mm-hmm. at johannahunt.ca. So it's
easy. Yeah. Perfect. And I'll have all that in the show notes too. So it's really easy for people just to click. So now for my last question, I love to ask everyone, which is, what does living an abundant life mean to you? And if someone were to ask you how they could start to build an abundant life for themselves, what would you tell them?
Mm-hmm. I love that question. I used to think that abundance was something external. and you know, it's interesting. When you start to get into personal alignment, really like stepping into your truth and your power and owning your story and who you are, what you came here for, there's this sense of freedom and peace and abundance that you feel within. It's like waking up every day, like Christmas morning, feeling like you can't wait to see what Santa brought you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what abundance feels like to me. It's like every day, it's like, what is there for me? Like, what am I creating today? Who am I serving? Who am I connecting with? What kind of conversations am I going to have? And it's interesting, like, because everything starts to flow into your life, but even before those things start to flow into your life, you feel abundant, right? Even before you see the actual manifestation, even before you see the money in your bank account, or it's really in like, am I present today? Am I loving everything I'm doing? Am I loving on my kids? Am I loving the work that I'm doing? Am I loving the conversations that I'm having? Like, that's abundance. It's, you know, the money will come from that. The physical abundance will come from that when you feel that way wholeheartedly.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope that you love this episode and that it was able to help you move in the right direction towards building the life that you want. If you take just a quick moment to leave us a positive 5-star review, I'd be so, so grateful, and share with any friends that you think would love it. This not only helps spread the mission of this podcast, but it helps to open the door to even more amazing guests and opportunities to better support you in amplifying your success and overflowing your cup with abundance. Thanks again, guys, and catch you on the next one.